둘, 셋, 파!
For Hey Army and fellow music fans, I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany, and we're the hosts of Standing BTS from the Consequence Podcast Network. We're a bi-weekly show that covers the impact and legacy of K-pop group BTS.
We mix the perfect blend of research and fangirl as we take a deep dive into lyrics during album reviews, theorize over music videos, and keep up with their current events.
No BTS topic is off limits. We welcome everyone into the conversation, whether you're a casual fan, committed ARMY, or someone who's just curious about one of the biggest music groups in the world.
Come chat with us every other Thursday with a new episode wherever podcasts are found.
There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a large unexpected inheritance. An always-on-the-verge-of-death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone, up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard, so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan, additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
You know it.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, and welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thank you, as always, for making your way here, for checking out the series. Of course, you know what to do. If you like what you see, what you hear, hit that subscribe button. I put out three new interviews every single week, a new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So it's a great way to keep up with your favorite artists and discover those new ones. You can catch us any of the usual spots, including Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or again, anywhere you get your podcast from. Subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. Don't forget to give the series a rating, leave a review if you feel so inspired. That always helps out so much. We've had some great guests on lately, including director Johan Rank, Spaceman, starring Adam Sandler. He directed that one. We had Luke Hemmings of 5 Seconds of Summer. Actor Nick Robinson was here to talk about co-starring with Millie Bobby Brown in Damsel on Netflix. Tom Payne, he's in the new Blumhouse feature Imaginary, as well as the upcoming Kevin Costner film Horizon. We talked with Joe Keery of Stranger Things fame, Neil Finn, lead singer of Crowded House, Paul Sun-Yung Lee from Mandalorian and the Star Wars universe, as well as Avatar The Last Airbender, Jasmine Cephas-Jones. Just an example of what you get when you subscribe to the Kyle Meredith With podcast. And that's me, Kyle Meredith, today catching up with Chris Robinson of the Black Crowes. It's fun to say of the Black Crowes because their new record, Happiness Bastards, is their first album of new material since 2009. And Chris is going to tell us how he sees the record as a love letter to rock and roll, how touring their Shake Your Moneymaker album for its 30th anniversary influenced this latest set, and why he thinks rock lyrics should have a romantic dark side. Chris goes on to discuss the microscope one is put under as a celebrity, finding new ways to channel anger in his song, putting his Chris Robinson Brotherhood side project to bed, and what may come from the leftover songs from this most recent session. You'll get all that and more. We're talking Happiness Bastards. It's Kyle Meredith with Chris Robinson of the Black Crowes.
Sorry for the delay. I'm like a 10-minute delay because my dog had to go poo.
Man, nature calls. Nature calls.
I mean, and, you know, I have to say, we can't let Bammy Longface from Jamaica not use the bathroom.
It's all right. How you doing? It's good to see
you. I'm good. How are you?
You're looking pretty as always.
Oh, cheers. Look at Prince, like, kind of giving Michael Stipe some shade over there.
He collaborated with everybody. It's a shame that one never happened, I guess. I don't know what that would have sounded like.
The big shame is he never called me. That's the tragedy of it.
Well, Michael Stipe, you could still do that one, though. So
I know Michael a little bit. I mean, Michael, he knows how to get my number if he needs me.
He knows how to get your number.
Yeah. He can call Pete Buck, and Peter has my number.
It is such a pleasure to be talking to you again. And this new record, Happiness Bastards, is so good. And I don't want to say that because that's what you say in an interview, but it is so good. Seriously.
I appreciate it. But you know what else? I think maybe when I started in music, people used to say, man, you know, your record sucks. You know what I mean? You'd be like, whoa, here we go. You know what I mean? Like, they don't do that anymore. And I'm not saying that I enjoyed it. And luckily for me, I didn't have to endure very much of it. But I do think there's something about the cultural attitude that the critic at the time had that would be pretty ballsy just to tell some kid to his face, you know, that. But
well, isn't it? I mean, I hear artists talk about the German interview, like when you're in Germany and you do those, and they're still pretty frank about those, I hear. Because that's always sounds funny to me.
They can be very frank. Yeah. You know, they're the fans as well. You know what I mean? Because you know, we don't go that much, but you know, you're going to the bus after the gig and a German fan will come up and go, excuse me, Chris, thank you for coming to Germany, but you look tired and your show lacked energy. Will you sign these 8 albums? I'm like, cool, man. Yeah, let me sign 8 records for you, you know? And they're like, thank you very much. And then they like go off. And
this one right here is not so good. This one is bad, but.
Yeah, I didn't like your sunglasses you were wearing. Yeah, whatever.
Well, I can honestly say, seriously, it is so good. And it's, I mean, I don't know, man. It's balls to the wall. It's hypersonic. It's everything I think I hope for. You all talk about this being a love letter to rock and roll. What does that mean in the bigger sense? Is that something for the press release? Or is that, I mean, does that mean something for this record?
Yes, I obviously save my most obvious cliche for the press. no, I think it, hopefully it's, yes. I mean, I understood when I said that was a cliche, but hopefully what that means is that I think Rich and I not only have rekindled like a real drive and focus for what we feel is like really purely rock and roll music that is soulful and dynamic, interesting, that contains, you know, I don't think we've made a Saturday night like me and my friends are going to have a few before we hit the town kind of record, or you put it in the car on the way to a show or something. We've made a lot of music and we've had moments of that, but I don't think we've really encaptured that kind of that in particular, that and maybe since Shake Your Money Maker, because even Southern Harmony, we went on into a more groovy sort of atmospheric place anyway. But I think doing the, you know, obviously doing the Shake Your Money Maker tour, doing all those shows, you know, at first I was probably had a little trepidation about the whole thing just because I was like, oh, isn't that what other bands do? And if the Black Crowes are one thing, aren't we the band that never does what other bands do, you know, except being a band? But you know what? The instant we started that was it lit a certain spark or an idea, and I really got into it. And I really, in a way, for the first time, and you know, I was like, you know what? This is what we're supposed to be doing. And this is leading into like how we made this record. But you know, I'm the front man of this band. And when we started, Rich and I have always been the songwriters, but then we had moments in the 2000s where I'd have a song and then we would work and then he'd have a song. And the Shake Your Money Maker part of it kind of brought us back to like, let's stop you when you said, oh, this is kind of, this is what I wanted to hear. Well, I don't think we've always made music that makes us feel a certain way, feel in the moment. But that we have stumbled onto a record that we know and we feel we know. I mean, that might be presumptuous, but that we can connect with people who love the Black Crowes and they can, and all, there's there won't be any deviating from the narrative that this is what the fucking Black Crowes sound like. You know what I mean? And this is like us and it's like purest sort of thing and something that, there was no labor towards it. There's no apprehension and there's no pretension. It's, you know, I think you would hear that instantly if we were trying to be something that we're not. And I think what you're hearing is we definitely know what we are.
And we'll be right back right after this.
There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a large unexpected inheritance. An always-on-the-verge-of-death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone. Up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan. Additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.
Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Chris Robinson.
That's an interesting point. If any band is fortunate enough to stick around long enough, it doesn't happen with every band because a few come to mind, but I really enjoy the ones who get to the point where you do the thing. You're an artist, you know, you go and you try out sounds and you go down different roads and eventually maybe you come back to an album. It goes, all right, here's one for the one when everybody thinks of us, what do they think we sound like? You know, it's that record.
Yeah, I totally agree, but I also, you know, it just also cosmically happens to coincide with Rich and I being available, not just for each other, but for the music we make together to, you know, it's not like it was like by accident, you know, when we started putting songs together and we started conceptualizing it, it was like, look, I want to make a record. Like I was saying, well, I want to make a focused, up-tempo, high-energy, big riffs, soulful chorus, funk, soul, rock and roll record. You know what I mean? And so, you know, we had a lot of more songs, but we were writing up, you know, Wanting and Waiting, the first single we finished in the studio. Like I wrote the whole lyric in the studio and the melody and stuff, and Rich had most of the riff. I mean, again, it's easy to segue to none of this, I think, could have been as enjoyable and as effortless seeming. I mean, we put a lot of hard work in it, but we made the record in 2.5 weeks. And, you know, working with someone like Jay Joyce was, we'd never really worked with like a famous producer of the year type of guy, you know, like that. Like, I mean, I don't care if Don Was doesn't like the sound of that, you know what I mean? Because he wasn't at the time, you know. But then someone like so highly skillful and musically, his vocabulary is great in the music. And he picked up on Rich and I, you know, Rich and I like to work very fast. Black Crowes is a visceral experience. We're not an abacus, you know what I mean? We're like a little wild mammal with sharp teeth, you know, that can swing from tree to tree or something. And I think he picked up on that, you know what I mean? And it just made it highly enjoyable. And, you know, walk in the door, boom, start working till the second we leave, you know, and that's the way it works.
So when you say you made the record in 2 weeks, does that mean writing and everything?
No, we had a lot of the, like, you know, Rats and Clowns had been finished for a while, but we'd had a lot of songs, and then, you know, we saw where it was pointed. But then when Jake came along, and then of course now we're sending him the same music, and he's telling us what he likes, and then we're like, you know, that's like on the next tier before you get in there. But the nature of how we work is things are always subject to change, and we'll, you know what I mean. And we, even on this record, there's songs that, you know, we recorded different versions and would come back the next day and say, no, let's go back to this. But because, you know, we've been doing this for a long time and we're very lucky to, besides Rich and I, and besides Jay, to have a band full of erudite musicians who can, you know, we all have the same references. Our language together musically is good. It's easy to talk to everyone about like, oh no, it should be, yours should be purple, and you know, yours should be like horizontal with a little bit of ice on the top or whatever. You know what I mean? It could be anything abstract or something very concrete, but that everyone is in the same mode, you know?
One of the reasons why I was asking about that, you know, if the writing was done then too, is because inevitably one way or the other, you know, as listeners, I should say, you know, we're going to find those threads. We're going to look at it. And I know that happens a lot of times when you're writing all at once. But I was even looked at, you know, and if I'm reaching too far here, you can pull me back. But like that line, it ain't killed me yet. and it never will. And that's from Rats and Clowns. And then you get your cross your fingers, hope I die, you know, right after it. Like, do you notice those moments when they're happening?
Well, the cross your fingers thing is funny just because, you know, Rich, again, my process begins and ends with whatever Rich plays me initially. It's obvious in something like cross your finger. Well, I also you know, on Southern Harmony, it's not a thorn in my side, it's a thorn in my pride. So there's a play on words that's of a poetic construct. In this case, you know, the musical part that became the chorus just to me was a real, like, almost P-Funk, Sly and the Family Stone. There's a band from Atlanta called Mother's Finest. It's really important to us. And so that whole, the way that, why you want to hurt my baby? Why you want to try? You know, that was very, once I came up with, oh, you know, people would say, cross your fingers, hope to die. And so, of course, I can't, my dyslexic mind won't allow me just to simply put that in a song. So it's cross your fingers, hope I die. You know, so I mean, rock and roll should have those themes, you know what I mean? Like, not every, you know, there is a hopefully a romantic dark side to these things. And, you know, I'm the happiest person in the world with my wife and our life and our adventure together. And it fills my heart and soul. But that doesn't mean when I'm writing a rock song, I can't access like all the horrible things that happened in relationships before I met her, you know, you know, or other people. It doesn't, you know, it's not necessarily me, you know. I'd like to think I have the capacity to pull on these desperate things and ideas and words and sayings and make scenes out of them that hopefully they just fit, you know what I mean?
And still resonate. Yeah. Do you, knowing that you're an avid reader too, do you ever take from that, like, do you ever take that opportunity, like, to take characters from books or anything and put them in songs?
Yeah, I don't think I take characters as much as maybe I would deal in archetypes, you know? And one of the archetypes that I still find interesting that was always a great source of storytelling, or whatever you want to call it, is like the, and you can make the correlation between the outsider and the loser. And it's funny because we don't really deal with that character very much anymore. Everything has to be the biggest or the greatest or the richest or the this and that, or the, you know, status really rules. Status rules above soulfulness. Status rules above everything. You know what I mean? The most, this is the most that anyone's ever seen. You know, like, okay, that's great. You know what I mean? Like, that's like, but you know, there's a difference between a Subway sandwich and the best restaurant in Paris. You know what I mean? Like, I like a sandwich too. You know what I mean? I'm just saying, like, within the expanse of that, you know what I mean? So I find the characters and things I want. And again, some of that is my experience. Some of that are things that I've seen. Some, you know what I mean? Some of that is just, you know, it's like in Barton Fink, you know, and I don't know if you've ever seen that movie, and Barton's there with Bill or whatever, the Southern writer, who I guess is supposed to be maybe a William Faulkner kind of character or whatever. And they're having that picnic and they're drunk and he's been drinking all afternoon. And Barton Fink really wants this answer about it. You've touched the human condition and the common man. Where does this come from? And he just looks at him and goes, well, Barton, I just like to make things up, you know. And it's like fucking beautiful. And so there has to be an element of that as well, you know. And I want them to be interesting, and I want them to be I just want to set a scene, and then you can interpret what's happening in the scene. And then that scene doesn't have to be filmed by one angle. It could have lots of different angles, you know? And I think that's what interests me, not just about poets and writers, but also about like great lyrics. Bob Dylan obviously is the greatest songwriter of all time. And he does that still, you know what I mean? I mean, when he looks at the, you know, goes to my, goes, and I crossed the Rubicon, that doesn't, you know, he's taking, you know, Caesar committing treason against Rome and using it in a relationship. I mean, you know what I mean? So that's like a pretty obvious example, but of some great magic still, word magic and that the great master that he is has access to. And I think, you know, ultimately that's what we're digging around for, you know.
Yeah, well, I'll say, as far as I hear it anyway, you know, what I wrote down was, it feels like a record that's populated with a lot of people who can't be trusted.
Well, that's true too. And my wife's laughing in the other room. Again, I'm not afraid of adversity and I'm not afraid of challenge. And I think I have an innate understanding that human beings, besides all our fucking phones and fucking Teslas and shit, that we're still just kind of surviving, you know, trying to get through it with the least amount of physical pain as possible or whatever. but I mean, that's a very broad statement about showbiz too, you know. And I think the average person has to deal with that in your life. In my case, I think if you add success, fame, stardom, money, we can throw greed and avarice in there if you'd like. I think when you're dealing with those things and they're more they're under the microscope and they're more intense just because of the nature of the experience and the nature of like the fucking industry that it like that. Is actually a big part of it. You can't have it without it. You know what I mean? So yes. And as the years went by and I can use the Black Crowes as my pulpit to say, you know what I mean? If I'm thinking about rock and roll things, those come up, and then I can not so thinly veiled be able to hurl my word bolts of like of what I've been through, you know.
And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Chris Robinson. Well, like a dirty cold sun, which regardless of what you're saying, which some of this I think is in there, but even the way it's coming out, I don't know if you'd be able to answer. Do you find that you access that energy from a different place than you might have when you were younger?
Yes, I think, most definitely. And I have to today because I've made decisions in my life and I've followed my heart. And like I said, I'm in a place of unimaginable warmth, understanding, love, sensuality, you know. I don't think any of that breeds contentment. I just think that breeds more bond and more passion about like where I am and like with the person most important to me, you know, besides my kids, which is my wife. So, but again, yeah, that doesn't mean that the other things stop. It just, you know what I mean? It just means like, oh, well, I'm not alone. You know what I mean? And I'm not alone. I have, you know, it's funny. I was talking to some people last night and they were talking about, I was on Bill Maher's podcast last night and they were like, oh, do you want this for your I was like, I'm not on any social media. Like 11 people have my phone number. And I prefer when you just come over if you want to talk to me. You know what I mean? And I have we have huge friend group around the world. Super important to us. My favorite fucking weirdos in the world. But like anything else, there's maybe a real handful of very close intimate friends that mean the world to me, but they're also the only people who have access to me. You know what I mean? Unless you run into me at the American First Class Lounge in Chicago or something. You know what I mean?
I understand why I've never been invited over now. That's fine.
Hey man, you know what I mean? All you have to do is ask, you know, and then the pressure's on you. You know?
Then the pressure's on me. Right, right. That's where it all falls apart right there. That's
I have faith in you. You know what I mean?
I appreciate that. I do. Flesh Wound, I wanted to bring up real quick too, because this sounds so different. Almost from every, like I wrote down, this feels like your Black Crowes version of That Thing You Do. Like, this is a pop rock song.
Yeah, well, it was funny. Again, I just think we also just let ourselves go. And that was a very different riff for Rich. And when he played it for me, I was like, oh my God. Like, I was so excited because, you know, for me, it's kind of like people have said, oh, you know, there's like a kind of punky spirit to it or something, and like punk music, and you don't really see it in our weed smoke velvet bell bottom rock and jewelry past, but it's always been important and always music that launched that outsider reality, being a suburban kid in outside of Atlanta who didn't really watch MTV and didn't really listen to the classic rock station. That music was eternally influential on me, and all sorts of different punk, like anything else, like jazz or punk or rock and roll. It's not one thing, you know, and post-punk music and the indie scene. But also that song, the riff really just reminded me of like, oh, why we love 60s garage music and British bands, Yardbirds, Stones, Kinks, that kind of energy and sound of that kind of 65, 66, just like kind of tough, but still melodic, that pop sense when that was pop music, when that kind of rock and roll was pop music, was interesting. And again, you know, like we're not scientists. We're not strategic in any way. We can conceptualize and focus, but we run on like just the vibe of what it is. And, you know, it's called playing music. I want to have fun, you know, even if I'm singing about something that is painful sometimes or whatever, it still needs, that's the, you know, I hate the word cathartic, but I mean, there is that element of it for me. I don't know. You know what I mean? And in this case, it was just like a fun little, like, it wrote itself in 10 minutes. I mean, I have to say, we didn't have that middle part about angels turn to demons everywhere and stuff, which initially I was like, oh, wouldn't it be cool if we just had little kids singing this? And then, like, it was like, read the lyrics. No one's parents are going to let them come in here and read this bullshit. You know what I mean?
I mean, tell that to XTC with Dear God. It's
That's England. They're way more ready to jump in. You know what I mean? That's England. My heritage is primarily, we're of English descent. We're English and then a big dollop of Polish Jew in the Robinsons, the Robinowitz. We were Robinowitz at one point. But the pure England, they could do that. It would be hard in Nashville to find the kid. But it was, you know, again, it was just so much fun to make that song, to record that song and to get into it. And, you know, we get a take, throw the vocals on next, you know, the hand claps and then a guitar solo. And, oh, we need that middle eight. And Rich and I just came up with that very, you know, off the, that was like the first idea. And it was just seemed to really fit it's the same. That's what we do. We're kind of, people think rock and roll is one thing, but it's out of really good rock and roll, or what we feel is interesting about it is we're outside of the box always, you know, where it's never exactly what you think it is.
Well, I mean, it works. And, you know, in that whole don't overthink it mindset, you know, sometimes you do over, you need to, but it feels good.
You need to, but you also find, and this is just out of the, you know, the experience of doing it many years. I think sometimes if you, and I produce a lot of young artists and I have the label, and it's one thing I want to teach them. And it's important because George Shakulius taught us is like, there's no, work hard and keep going with the song, but trust your instincts. There's no reason to go, you know, 30 miles out of the way, or just to make the point. I don't need to chase something down to make the point that I, in myself, I'm like, well, now I know that, you know, we know if it stinks on ice, you know what I mean?
getting close to the end here. I wanted to ask because, and I'm laughing at this in my head as I'm thinking about it too, because when the Black Crowes were on hiatus, and you had the Brotherhood and everything else, and people would say, when are the Black Crowes coming back? Now they're back. I have to flip that question. are any of those other acts that you've had, the bands, do those exist anymore in this moment?
Not in my world, they don't. No, as a matter of fact, do they not only... I have people come up to me all the time. I'll have people wearing like a CRB t-shirt still come up to me and tell me how much they miss it. And that really makes me feel good. But I feel that I said what I had to say with that, and I needed it for many reasons, mostly like for my head. And, you know, I say we had to take the gas off the Black Crows. You know what I mean? Like that thing was boiling over, man. And we had to like let it cool out a little. And that's what I had the amazing opportunity to do with my solo career. And I think if you spoke to Rich about his, he would say the same thing. But I never felt this way about the possibilities. I think, you know, the Happiness Bastards is just a sign on the freeway pointing ahead. You know what I mean? And I think it opens up so many things for Rich and I, not just for the Black Crowes, but like we learned, you know what I mean? It's also a, you know, where could I say, oh, we've made a lot of records. I've been doing it a long time, but everything is, you know, I've never lost the capacity to learn and to see and to, you know, retain information and put it in a certain context that we could use, you know, down the road. I guess maybe people call that wisdom in a sense or something. And that's important because it, you know, in the same way, like, oh, we focused and made a rock and roll record, but, you know, we still have like 20 songs laying around that are more like Brothers of a Feather. Maybe we make a record of things. Maybe we make, that's not the Black Crowes. Maybe we make a Chris and Rich Robinson record that is something different. But the only reason that would be interesting or that would even work is because for the first time since maybe the early 90s, I think we definitely know what the Black Crowes are, and we know what we want it to look like and smell like and feel like. And that's a nice place to be for us after all the chaos and turmoil and things that, you know, rock and roll brings. Lots of beauty, lots of connect, you know, don't get me wrong. Like everything else, there's a duality. I think there still is a duality. I just think we're more on the same page.
I love hearing that. And I love this record so much. And I say that as the longtime fan. I love the early stuff. I think Ein Haydn is one of the great songs of the 21st century. I think 40 Days from the New York Mud is one of the greatest songs of the 21st century. I mean, I always
thought 40 Days, you know, as a lyricist, that was like one that I was like, all right, you know what I mean? Like I said what I wanted to say in this song. And I think Ein Haydn, I think we might even see that get dusted off and with this new group and bring it out on the road and stuff. So that's the other exciting thing. We have the first new music to play in many years, and that opens up some channels for some of the other, you know, of course we'll play the songs that I know people expect to hear and that they want to hear, but this gives us a little more open-ended and loose in the set list, and some choice covers and some deeper tracks like that, that will fit in, I think, with the whole thing and hopefully make sense when we get out there.
I'm sure it will. I can't wait to see this live. Seriously. It's so exciting. Happiness Bastards is so good. Chris, it's always great to catch up with you. Thank you so much for taking the time, man.
Thanks for having me. Good to see you. I hope Michael Stipe and Prince can work out their differences, because you know what? It looks also like David Bowie's had enough of their shit. I
mean, he doesn't want to mess with us anymore. He's,
he's like, guys, everyone's special on this wall.
And my thanks, Chris Robinson. The new album from the Black Crowes is called Happiness Bastards. Thanks to you for checking out the episode. Again, please do hit that subscribe button while you're hanging around so you can keep up with all the interviews that we put out every single week, new and every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at any of the usual suspects, Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcast from, you can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. After that, head over to WFPK.org. It's where I do a show Monday through Friday, starting at 6 p.m. Eastern. You get 4 hours of classics from the 80s and 90s. You get the best in new music. There are bonus interviews, lots of music news as well. One of my recent shows featured classics from The Replacements, Tom Petty, Steve Earle, Shannon and the Clams, Eva Trout, Pretenders, Joan Baez, Mitski, Paula Cole, The Crystal Method, Funkadelic, Francois Hardy, Taylor Hawkins, Billy Joel, Zanaya, Pete Yorn, The Cure, Kim Gordon, Garbage, R.E.M., Ben Folds 5, Charlie Crockett, Cage the Elephant, and of course my interview with actress Natalie Morales
just an example of what you get every weeknight, starting 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. You can also find me on any of the social media sites. The address is always the same. It's at Kyle Meredith. So I do hope you like and follow along. And that does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith, and I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
I know.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Right now, get up to a $15 gift card after rebate when you purchase select Superstart batteries exclusively at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly.